You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 16th, 2020. How fast can you spend $12 billion? At 6:30 this morning, word came out of the Small Business Administration, out of the $350 billion we have in loans for businesses, we have now spent $338 billion. That was at 6:30 this morning. By the 10 a.m. hour, it's gone. The additional $12 billion, spoken for. The SBA loans are down and out. We're trying in Congress to get that other $250 billion added on, the money that should have gone in a week ago until Nancy Pelosi came in and put a stop to it. Small businesses are suffering. The economy is suffering. Individuals are suffering, and it all came down her making a political decision to come in and stop it, because if it wasn't going to include money for Planned Parenthood and some of her other little things, then she was going to stop it. Well, now we got businesses out there suffering. And apparently, if you were in the line, you're already in the queue, now the money's gone, you got to refile again. Don't take my word for it. Check with your bank and Small Business Loan Administration officers and experts. Hopefully we'll get that money in quicker, sooner than later. In the meantime, the latest jobless claims record at 5.2 million. That means in the 4 weeks we've been battling this virus with our shutdowns and restrictions, 22 million jobs lost. 22 million. President Trump says it is clear that New York City is inflating its corona's death toll. They added 3,700 the other day, put them under the corona's death, COVID-19. We have been told repeatedly by coroners, the only way to verify someone died of COVID-19 is if you run a COVID-19 test on them. But we'd rather use the test on the living to find out if they have it as opposed to use it in an autopsy, someone's deceased. This is, of course, bringing more and heightened concern for New York, plus minus. Three Southern California churches, they want to remain open, and the pandemic had them closed by orders of the governor, Governor Gavin Newsom. He says you cannot do it right now. So they have sued. They're accusing him of criminalizing church attendance. That's not the only backlash we're beginning to see against governors and others and some of the restrictions. We're going to get into that in more detail in this next segment coming up as to where the Bill of Rights ends, your freedoms end, in reference to the virus control. In the nation of Japan, the Prime Minister now saying, I'm putting the entire country of Japan, the entire country, under a state of emergency. In Iran, the parliament is saying our deaths have nearly doubled. Their deaths were given at one number, and now they apparently are doubled. When they say they were around 5,000, they might be even more. There has been video of them having mass graves, but they want to deny that it's that bad. And, of course, in the midst of trying to help folks, get stimulus checks to them. If you want to check, see where your stimulus check is and what's going on with it, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. I've got a link for you. You simply click on that. It will take you direct in the IRS so you can find out where your check is and when you might see it. You'll have to be prepared for a wait. But in California, the Democrat governor is making sure that the 150,000 illegals in his state, and that's probably a very shallow number, many more than that, but they are going to make sure that at least 150,000 of the illegals in the state of California will get $500 per person. So let me get this straight. If you get your check here and you rush out to California and get in line with the illegal immigrants, you might pick up another $500 cash. Yep. Take care of non-Americans before we take care of Americans.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
These are not decisions for the government to make. These are decisions for individuals to make. And the sooner we take our freedoms back, the less likely the government will be able to continue doing this. And if we don't take our freedoms back, they might not come back.
Judge Andrew Napolitano, who also serves as an analyst for Fox News, and talk about our freedoms are being pulled from us throughout this crisis, and we got to be very careful. And as I said, we're waiting to see at the White House during this hour to see if the president comes out and starts announcing details of how we're going to begin to reopen the country. They've sent word that it's going to happen sometime today, but it may or may not happen in the hour we've got left for this program. But I'll keep you updated as we move forward. I do want to share this with you. This word just coming in advance of whatever the president's going to decide, Governor Cuomo is announcing New York's shutdown will continue at least through May 15. May 15. He's already made it clear we cannot open May 1, which a lot of folks were hoping for. And, of course, in the process of shutting down the businesses and everything else, there were restrictions being placed on folks. I remember when we first began to see this happen, and I raised the question then that we're all going to want to be careful. We want to control the virus, but we want to be very careful we don't lose our freedoms, our civil rights, as protected under the Bill of Rights in this nation as we move forward. This is not like in China, where they have the disease in the area where they were welding doors closed. They were welding doors closed to make sure folks could not leave their apartments as they tried to stop the spread. In this country, we try to use up on common sense of the American public, and sometimes there's not so much common sense, so you have to put laws into effect. But then as someone in charge of that, how far do you want to go with that? How far do you want to tell someone you can't do that, that's going to endanger too many people? Or do you find ways around it and kind of find some common ground? Judge Napolitano making the point that we have numerous states already and cities that have come up with some questionable decisions as to how they're going about it. The California churches I mentioned a moment ago, three Southern California churches, they want to remain open, and yet the governor out there said, no, we're still going to have stay-at-home orders. They're insisting now in a lawsuit, you're violating our First Amendment right to freedom of religion and assembly. One of them is a Center for American Liberty, a conservative nonprofit filing that suit. The governor, who's a Democrat, and I mention that only because that's what he is. I'm not saying that's a reason for any of his decision. In fact, he has been, he and Governor Cuomo of New York, another Democrat, have had high praise for President Trump on how the president's been handling this anyway. But the governor felt in his state, we cannot have churches open and mass gatherings. Well, see here, that was announced going into Easter. We've already been through Easter. Synagogues, they've been holding high services too for Passover. And of course, Ramadan starts in, what, 5-6 days? What are they going to do about the mosque? Or will it all suddenly be relaxed by then? And say, okay, we're not going to interfere with that religion. Go ahead and practice your religion as you choose. We've had on this program previously Dr. Kevin Pham. In fact, I just had him on the other day. He's a contributor to the Daily Signal and also a member of the Heritage Foundation. And he has a piece out that just issued a couple of days ago. Public health steps should benefit, not punish the public. I think we all agree with that. And he's talking about New York in particular. Governor Cuomo's put out a rule that was saying NYS on pause, New York State on pause. That was kind of the way they were billing it. And he says it was a critical public health intervention. It prevented the virus from overwhelming the health system in New York. They were trying to stop large gatherings, non-essential businesses. But, of course, once you start down that road, sometimes decisions are being made just because you're in a position to make it. It has nothing to do with protecting the public health. And pretty soon that line that was very clear, here's your Bill of Rights, we won't cross that, it gets a little fuzzy, a little hazy, or you kind of lean over the line a little bit. I haven't broken it, haven't really stepped over, but we're leaning in that direction. So the piece by Dr. Pham is exactly right. Public health is meant to benefit the public, not punish the public. And he pointed out some of the other services we were seeing happen. I mentioned California. We've had it in Kentucky. Remember, a federal district judge barring the city of Louisville, Kentucky, from prohibiting a drive-in Easter Sunday service. They wanted to have their Easter Sunday. It was going to be a drive-in. They're going to stay in their cars, worship and pray, listen to the sermon by radio or loudspeaker. They would not be getting out of their cars, getting into other cars. Only those in those cars would be directly affected. Even if they rolled their window down, they're parked more than 6 feet away. You'd have to almost be spitting at someone or deliberately coughing or sneezing to get anything into their car and affect them. Florida, the beaches, a lot of people walking the beaches, keeping their distance, but then you had the mass congregations during the spring break. You can't do that. In Colorado, police handcuffing a guy caught playing at the park with his family. They later turned him loose. It's his family. He's playing catch with them. I'm at the park yesterday walking. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, lost track. At one of the parks, and they have a sign posted, be respectful of others. Please maintain 6 feet distance. And all the, you know, simple rules, which I'm going to abide by anyway. I was not wearing a mask while I was out walking that day. Some people were. But there's a young mother and two children. And I'm coming up on a spot on the path where they're ahead of me. And I'm kind of watching them. And one of the little boys suddenly runs across to my side of the path and just kind of lays down the path and rolling around like kids will do. Mom looked at me with horror on her eyes like, what are you going to do? Well, I just stopped. Not going to advance on her child. She went over and got him up, got him to the other side, and so I walked past. We just kind of smiled. But it frightened her for a moment. I mean, she didn't know me. She didn't know what if I went over and picked up her child, and then if the child came down sick. I mean, those are reasonable concerns, especially as a parent. Especially as a parent. I mean, once you become a parent, your world changes as to what's a real threat around you. And then you become a grandparent, the same thing. One of my grandchildren, I was told, has come down with a little coughing and headaches and a fever. Probably going to be asthma. But they're taking him for one of those drive-through checks to see. And he does have asthma, so he's a little bit compromised. His mother's just recently had some surgery. That puts her at risk. I was going to go see them. I probably should not go with her now, depending on what they decide. I don't want to endanger him more. And, of course, I need to look out for my health. So families are making their rules on a constant basis. And then when you get state government, state leaders making their rules, if they're doing it again to really protect the public and not punish the public, key point. And sometimes even when the intent is not to punish, it does inadvertently, and sometimes we kind of accept it. I'll flash back with you very quickly on 9/11, after 9/11, and they were suddenly going to jump in and start doing, the Patriot Law being revised and wiretaps and everything, and I didn't really care. I didn't care. I said, go check on my phone calls anytime you want. Well, but you do reach a point where, that's violating my rights. I don't have anything to hide, and if it would stop another 9/11, I'm all for it. But as you begin to let things slide, more serious questions come. Then you get FISA warrants being issued just because somebody in the Justice Department or the FBI wants to come after you. The New Jersey governor was on last night with Tucker Carlson. They had a stay-at-home order that he insisted that would be given, and they were very strict about it. They were clamping down on various businesses, religious services, closing down state parks. They were not closing liquor stores. And the question, why not a liquor store? Well, not necessarily if folks have liquor, I guess, but if you close it and it's not going to be available, then you might have a problem. You can argue that point back and forth, but the bottom line is one they didn't. But the question raised, by what authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights to issue this? And the governor's response is, it's not meant to be a cartoon, but his response is, I wasn't thinking about the Bill of Rights. And that's understandable. He was thinking about protecting his public. He's not thinking about taking away your Bill of Rights. He's thinking about protecting the public. So then you look at what's happening in Michigan. And here this Democrat, and I will make clear this is a Democrat governor here because she has been at opposing sides with everything beginning. She was attacking Trump because when he was standing up there in the news conferences saying hydrochloroquine might save lives, I don't know, try it, talk to your doctor. She was ordering her doctors in her state, if you use that to treat anybody, we will come after your license. And then later she relented and said, okay. And then they were begging, her state was begging for hydrochloroquine so they could use it. But she's being sued by at least four Michigan residents claiming that her orders are violating the First and Fifth Amendments of the Constitution. They're arguing her order to make businesses shut down and ban travel to private homes, freely associate, violates everything. They said it's like taking a sledgehammer to an ant. Well, what exactly is she doing? Therein lies part of the issue. Because what they have done in Michigan, under the rules, an order, extended stay-at-home order, no gathering outside a single household. Does that mean if you have an apartment, you can't gather outside your apartment? No, I don't know. No travel, even if you have an interstate vacation home, no travel to your other home. Well, I have a home across the state. I want to go to that side and spend my quarantine time there. No, you can't do it. No motorboat or jet ski use. I guess that means it's encouraging folks to congregate. I don't know. But the big point, restrictions on what you can buy when you walk into a place. Some things you're not going to be allowed to buy, even though the store is open and has all of these items. Here comes Judge Andrew Napolitano again, making that point very clear. Where does the Bill of Rights fit into such an order?
This is a blatant violation of the Bill of Rights, a blatant violation of freedom of assembly, of your right to purchase a product that you decide is essential. If you go to a big box store in Michigan and you decide, instead of buying cereal, I want to buy grass seed, instead of buying paper towels, I want to buy a garden hose, you have violated the governor's executive order. And theoretically, because she's threatened to do this, she'll shut down the big box store because they sold you grass seed and a garden hose instead of cereal and paper towels. These are not decisions for the government to make. These are decisions for individuals to make. And the sooner we take our freedoms back, the less likely the government will be able to continue doing this. And if we don't take our freedoms back, they might not come back.
And those words are a warning. If we don't take them back, they might not come back. The issue in ventilators across our nation. I want to review that again because President Trump said information he had about ventilators was the scariest news he had ever heard. Stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Scariest day of my life was about a month ago when, after a long day of meetings, my team told me that we were going to be needing 130,000 ventilators, that we were short hundreds of thousands of ventilators. This is the system we inherited.
President Trump, Tuesday. Scariest day of his life. We need 130,000 ventilators, and we don't have anywhere near that number. And he did say it's what we inherited. And, of course, depending on your politics, you might say, well, it's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's not Trump's fault. You had to go before Trump. No, it's not Obama's fault. Okay, go before Obama. Nope. It goes back 20 years. This issue has been building. Federal agencies have been warning of ventilator shortages for nearly 20 years. In 2003, after the SARS outbreak, the Government Research Office found, the Government Accountability Office, I should say, few hospitals have adequate medical equipment such as ventilators to deal with respiratory infections such as SARS. That was 2003. Now, a friend just texted me and said, there are 147 people in St. Louis on ventilators. I've seen that number. I don't know if that number of 147 is St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or a combination. I doubt it's the metro area. I think the metro area is way above that. But 127. There's no shortage here at this point from what I've seen at this point so far. But if we've been told since 2003 we've got a shortage, where do you think the problem and fault lies? That was the SARS outbreak. 2005, a congressional research report looking at avian flu, again said we're not ready. We don't have enough respirators and ventilators, I should say, if suddenly we get hit with avian flu like they've been hit us elsewhere. 2008, our government began accepting bids from companies to buy tens of thousands. That's after they needed the stockpile. The stockpile they did have, I should say, had been already sucked up by swine flu, avian flu, SARS, and MERS. All of those were sucking those up every time. And they were still waiting on newer to be developed. Prototypes are being developed. Less costly, be more effective. So we ordered some from Philips in 2014. The Philips company at that time making them. They were supposed to be delivered earlier last year, actually December 2019. Even before all of this, 2006, warnings of flu epidemic. 2007, another flu pandemic. 2009, a warning. On and on and on. Here's the deal. If I'm in charge of ventilators, I should know how many I have, and I should be notifying everybody above me as to what we need and what we need to do now. If you're the one in charge of bullets for our troops, you need to be taking care of that. But if you don't take care of the bullets, and I got the ventilators in place, and you don't have the bullets, we're still hurting. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I was up against a hard break coming up, so I kind of rushed to my thought, and I might have left you hanging like, wow, what did he just say? What about ventilators and ammo? Well, let me clarify. Let me put it this way. In the Marines, let's say I'm in charge of ammo for all of our troops in their positions of battle. That's my job. You're in charge of food being delivered to the troops. Food's available, and then it gets there. I don't know what our food supply is. That's your job. Those around you and above you and who you report to, they should know. And somewhere at the top, all the information comes together. One or two or more sit around, and they see what's our food supply, what's our ammo supply. So if I'm running short, you don't know, and it's no concern of yours. That's not your mission. The ventilator issue, you have the states, they're supposed to be taking care of their residents and make their own decisions. And you got the federal government supposed to be ready to help out in emergencies. And the federal government was supplying ventilators for these numerous crises we're talking about. And in many cases, the states had some. And then we kind of got along. We got past one little crisis, okay. We used up a bunch of them, but we're okay. And maybe we ordered a few, maybe not enough, I don't know. And maybe someone who was there 20 years ago isn't there 5 years ago when we really hit and recognized if we get hit with a pandemic, we're way short. But they're new on the job. They don't know. They see the numbers, but they don't mean anything to them. They don't have the history. They don't understand. Whatever. A lot of things can fall through the cracks on something like that. So it doesn't do any good whatsoever to point a finger of blame at anybody. I mean, I heard somebody the other day say, well, before Trump came in, because Trump said he inherited the situation, it's Obama's fault. It is not Obama's fault. It is not Obama's fault. It's not. For the last 20 years, you can pick someone to blame, but it's going to come down to the bureaucracy. And somewhere, someone not speaking up and saying, we might have an issue down the road, let's plan ahead. I don't have anybody in particular I want to blame. I'm just saying I hope this lesson is learned and we don't get to that point again. But the same thing did exist with reference mask. Now, this one does fall upon Obama's reign because after the H1N1 task force dealing with swine flu, H1N1, drew down about 100 million of the protected respirator mask. We knew we had a shortage of these masks going back to 2009, but we did not resupply for the next pandemic. And they're saying that if the Obama administration didn't respond to requests for additional masks, if they did not communicate there's a need for the incoming Trump administration, the ball got dropped. The Obama administration did have 7 years to replenish the stockpile. Trump administration, 3. Again, I'm not interested in blaming Obama and making it a political battle ball. I'm not interested. I'm just saying when we have these shortages, somebody send up a damn flare and say, we have an issue here. And do it before we're in the middle of the crisis. Part of the crisis we have now is, of course, directly blamed on the World Health Organization. That's why President Trump has said we're cutting off funding. We are the main source of money for the World Health Organization. Over the 2 years, we're scheduled to give them something like $450 million. And he says we're cutting it off until we get better accountability. China has more ruling and control over the WHO and has them at their beck and call more than we do, and China gives a tenth of what we do, $40 million. When the president made that decision the other day, I said, amen, cut it off. And here came the World Health Organization. You start doing that, you're going to have more body bags. What is that, a threat? What is that? And they're trying to say, well, we need the money to deal with the pandemic, the crisis we have now. You got the money. You're just misallocating it. You've already got money. We're not going to give you more. Use what you got. We'll supplement other stuff that you could put aside for right now because it is a crisis, as you just admitted. Or in other words, you want all of our $400 million to battle the crisis, and you're not going to use money for anything else that we give you? You're not going to take any of that money and use it in other areas? Well, of course they are. But there are members, I don't know if I can find it here in time or not. I had it aside. Once again, I came in with more material than I'll ever get on the air. I guess we're going to have to do Larry Connors USA 24/7. Not sure I'll get it all in then either. But anyway, what we have heard is from the left. No surprise there. Nancy Pelosi challenging Trump's decision to freeze the funding, saying it is senseless to stop the money in the midst of the global pandemic. Nancy, do you really think if we gave them a check for $400 million right now, it's going to change anything about the pandemic than where we are right now? Yeah, she would. She would believe that, yeah. But she said, this is another case, as I've said, of the president's ineffective response. That a weak person, a poor leader, takes no responsibility. A weak person blames others. She is so good at naming her flaws and putting it on someone else. She goes on to say, this decision is dangerous, illegal, and will be swiftly challenged. We are the largest single donor. They do not want us to go away entirely. And if they were doing their job, we would be there with them. And I will tell you this, if Obama were president And he decided, because World Health Organization knew, they knew that China was lying to us, and they continued to peddle the lie, or at least they did not get in to inquire, to truly investigate. And Obama said, we're cutting off the money. I would applaud that as well. Not going to be giving U.S. dollars to foreign countries or entities that are not representing our rights and the world rights in general, that they're already beholden to someone. But the head of the World Health Organization, who is not a doctor for the first time in the history of the World Health Organization, the Director General, Tedros, is not a doctor. There's never been anyone to get that position other than a doctor. And how did he get that position? Well, China had the deciding vote, and they put him in 2 years ago. And so now comes payback, or pay it forward, or bribe, extortion, or this phrase, don't forget, quid pro quo. In Feb, 2 months ago, when this stuff was already beginning to run rampant, the World Health Chief said the coronavirus can be controlled easily. And he praised Chinese President Xi Jinping for personal leadership. He praised him for his leadership and said, this will be controlled easily. That's what your World Health Organization Director General Tedros said February. By then, it was already out of China and racing toward our shores, except President Trump had decided to put a stop on flights coming from China. But by then it also got into Europe. So then in March we had to say shut down flights from Europe for a while. Top Chinese officials had determined January 14th, they were likely facing a pandemic. And Xi waited until January 20 to warn the public about the break. 3,000 in China were infected within a 6-day delay period. They were not showing leadership, but that's what the World Health Organization would have you believe. The World Health Organization was leading properly. I'm going to spend more on this tomorrow because I don't have enough time now, but there's an interesting sidebar in the midst of this. During the month of March, as this illness was moving across the globe, China held the presidency of the council. It did not call a meeting on the matter, blaming technical limitations, and scheduled the last meeting of March. This month, non-permanent member Dominican Republic holds the presidency. A Security Council was held via video conference last Thursday. Diplomats faulted bickering between the U.S. and China for paralyzing the council. Let me repeat again to you. They knew in December they had it. They knew it was transmitted person to person. They said it's not. The World Health Organization repeated that. And then at the UN, where China held the presidency of the Security Council, they did not have one meeting. Not even in the month of March, not one meeting about this. And we're told that China is a good guy. Your stimulus check will be $8 million. Believe me. You're right. Might as well believe China is a good guy. I will tell you about that stimulus check when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Another point about China and the China flu, because it came from China. Coronavirus, COVID-19. Question from the beginning. Was this a mistake in one of their labs that got out of control? Because they had research labs in that part of China, Wuhan. And they've had prior instances where they've had issues. The State Department, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, China might be in the northwest region of that country working on nuclear weapons. I mean, already they have them, but conducting secret nuclear tests that would be in violation. That they apparently have explosive containment chambers. But if you ask them about it, no, we're not. The flu cannot be transmitted person to person. Same kind of answer. The State Department report worried about China working on some of this nuclear development, additional weapons, also cited, please hear this, also cited concern about China possibly violating the Biological Weapons Convention by engaging in biological activities with potential dual-use applications. In other words, what kind of biological weapon can we mix with a nuclear blast that we don't necessarily destroy that much by the nuclear blast or the radiation, but whatever else we can release? I would call the World Health Organization and ask them, but I'm sure they'll say, oh, no, they're just testing new, firecrackers for July 4th. And no, the virus cannot be transmitted person to person. So you've been stupid to cover up your face. You've been stupid to shut down your economy. And those who are being placed in these graves right now, they were going to die anyway at some point, so who cares? Or to bring up Nancy Benghazi, not Nancy, police, correct. Hillary Benghazi Clinton. What difference does it make now anyway? All right, it's time for my mea culpa again. I did it twice in the last hour. I'm going to do it again because I want to make sure that when I make a mistake, I want you to know I made a mistake and I'm going to acknowledge it. The mistake I made yesterday, word was circulating, that the stimulus checks were going to have President Trump's name on them. And sources I checked at that point in advance going on said, no, they were not. They were not going to have his name on them. Part of the other part of the story was that the checks were being delayed going out because they were busy printing his name on them. And I said, that's also false. Apparently the fact and the truth is somewhere in between. But as far as I said that it will not have his name on them, I stand corrected. Word is that, yes, some of the checks in the memo category will have his name. He doesn't sign them. That's still from the Treasury Secretary. But his name will appear in the memo column, apparently. But also, according to the State Department, Treasury Department, White House, and, of course, those are the sources, so you can believe them or not, checks are not being delayed because of that. They're still going out as scheduled. And, of course, keep in mind, a lot of folks are not going to get a physical check anyway. They're going to be getting a direct deposit into a bank account that you've already got listed with the IRS. If you paid your taxes in 18, you probably sent in some payment and you got an address on there. They'll use that to send the money to you. If you've already filed for 19, which would have been due by midnight last night, but now we have an extension for 90 days, but you went ahead and filed early, they'll be using the date you have on the 2019. If you're a Social Security recipient, apparently they're going to be using the address where they're sending your check. So you may never see a check come in the mail. It may also be a direct deposit to a bank account. If you have Social Security directly deposited to your bank account, that's where it will show up. But if you want to find out where your check is, Here's what you do. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Not just Larry Connors. Larry Connors USA Facebook. I've got a link at the very top. It's pegged as one of the first items. Even before today's podcast, you'll see that. And you can also share that page with some of your friends and neighbors so they can quickly check on the status of their IRS stimulus payment. Be warned, IRS is already acknowledging you might have to still wait a bit, but you go to that Facebook account, you'll be able to pull it up and see right away how to link into the IRS, answer some questions, and get information on your stimulus check. And I hope you get $8 million. Not going to happen, obviously, like the guy the other day. It did, but obviously a mistake. But at least now you know where to go and how to do it in a hurry. Once again, I appreciate you listening, supporting this program, and my sponsors. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.